Healing Word with Bill and Sandy Griffin, bringing hope and healing to our generation. Praise God and welcome to the Healing Word. Your hosts, Bill and Sandy Griffin of the Christian Counseling Center in Pickerington, Ohio. Today we have some very special guests for you. We have Mylon and Kay
Yurkovich,
praise God, who are going to be sharing with us from their book, How We Love. And in this book, they talk about the early experiences that create a kind of intimacy imprint, like a blueprint that shapes our behaviors and our beliefs and expectations for future relationships, and especially marriage. And they're going to share with us, they're experts in this field, and they're going to help pinpoint the reasons why marriages might be struggling, and they're going to also share what you can do about it.
You know what I like most about what I've been reading so far in their books is it's not just identifying problems, but it's how do we get out of it? What do we do once we see ourselves in the book? So many marriage books identify, but don't give you the how-to. And today you're going to learn and be changed if you'll allow the Lord to minister to your heart.
And maybe not in this half-hour program, but you can get the book.
That's right.
The Lord gave us a scripture today, and the scripture comes from the third chapter of Colossians. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Amen. Sandy, would you open us in prayer?
I'd be glad to. Father, thank you. Thank you that you've made us for relationship. Relationship with you and relationship with each other. And Father, we pray that you would make corrections today so that we could live the scripture that Bill just read. Lord, that we could be kind and compassionate the way that we want to respond to our maid. And Father, just show us our patterns, our old patterns. Help us be transformed by renewing our minds. And Father, we pray the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon us to effect those changes. Guide our conversation and our hearts. Give us the ability to change, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, our very special guest today, Mylon Yurkovich and his wife, Kay Yurkovich. Mylon has a pastor's ordained pastor, and he has a radio program, New Life Live. And he's been helping couples and families build healthy relationships for over 25 years. He previously served as a pastoral counselor at the Center for Individual and Family Therapy, and he now teaches seminars and with his wife has written this magnificent book. Kay is a licensed marriage and family therapist with a master's degree in counseling, and they've been helping couples together and individually. And they've been married 33 years and are parents of four children. So they can speak well of what they're going to share with us from their book they've written, How We Love. Welcome.
Thank you. We're so delighted to be with you, Bill and Sandy. You have like hearts to us.
We do. And you know what? And I just know that this must have been your experience as well to work together. You've had to put this to the test.
Yes, we have. It's been our journey.
But we will glean from your life experiences because you have produced a wonderful tool for the body of Christ.
Yeah, perhaps you could share with as 14 years ago or 14 years into your marriage, you really began to examine and come to know each other in a new and precious way that sort of became the outcome of this book.
That's true. And if we could have asked ourselves a question that we ask our readers in the beginning of the book, I think we could have progressed along a little more quickly than we did. This question came in retrospect.
Okay.
But we asked our readers and we asked ourselves, do you have a memory of comfort growing up where a parent really noticed that you were upset, they came towards you, they listened to your heart, they drew out what was inside you with questions, and so there was a connection between your parent and your heart, to where that when you finished that conversation or that time together, you left feeling relief.
Like someone listened to me?
Someone really heard me. Someone knows me on the inside. Someone offered me relief. And, you know, for Mylon and I, we didn't have those kinds of memories, and we didn't really realize the impact that that would have on our marriage. We had never stopped to ask ourselves, what were our love lessons growing up? And what did we learn from our families, and how are we carrying that out in our relationship now? And it was when we began to ask those questions and realize the impact of our early years, that our marriage, we saw some things that were like a revelation for us.
Because it's almost like we reproduce in our adulthood and in our marriage what we experienced as children.
Well, that's true, because if you've never experienced it, number one, how can you ever conceptualize that it exists?
Exactly.
And number two, how can you then teach it to your own children and model something that you never had modeled or demonstrated to you? Mm-hmm. And so you're absolutely right, Sandy. If we never learned it, we must choose to learn something new, which is what the Bible teaches us, so that our lives take a turn, and we, as Bill said, we take these old blueprints, these old imprints, and we create new ones.
But let's go back just for a moment and recapping that for our listeners, asking them the question, who comforted you? What did it feel like?
And you know, surprisingly, we find that about 75% of the people in our seminars and workshops do not have a memory of comfort at all.
That is tragic.
And then some people have some sporadic memories, but it was more a memory of reassurance, there, it'll be okay, than really entering into the heart of that child and understanding what was inside.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you have those kinds of memories, then you expect relationships to offer relief, and you will move toward your spouse when you're upset and when you're not okay inside, and you will believe that they're going to be there for you and hear that.
You're talking about the foundation stone of trust.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Can my heart rest with you? Do you care?
Right.
But most people, if they, again, have never experienced that, they don't know how to do that. So what we try and do is help couples learn a simple comfort circle that they can do every day to build that trust, so that eventually we turn that into something that is not just a new thing that we do, but it becomes a part of the fabric of our marriage.
Okay, yeah. Comfort circle. Do you want to talk about that now?
Well, maybe we should just quickly note, before we do that, what these different attachment styles are.
Okay,
and what these broken love styles are.
If
you had that, and we're in that 30% perhaps in our workshops that had a memory of comfort, then you're probably what we call securely attached.
Yeah.
And that means that as you grow up into adulthood, you know how to identify your own feelings inside. You can put words to the things that are happening inside your mind and your emotions inside that are distressing. And then you can bring those to other people, and you can enter into relationship about all aspects of your life, the positive aspects and negative aspects, the hurts, pains.
So you know what to call what you're feeling.
Yeah, it's called what you're feeling. But, you know, so many people, Sandy, in our offices cannot give you a word to describe what they're feeling. The other insecure love styles are a grouping that they don't know how to identify in themselves what hurts or to receive comfort. And so they can't go to other people. So you, because they just haven't been trained, they isolate in pain, and you guys will recognize that.
Yes.
How many people, Bill and Sandy, isolate in pain instead of taking their pain to the Lord and or to other people? They just isolate.
And shut down.
Yeah,
they shut down. So of the insecure styles, you have the avoider, the pleaser, the vacillator, and the controller, and the victim. And if it would be a good idea, I think
maybe Kate
could describe the avoider real quick.
Yeah.
Well, the avoider was my style coming into adulthood. And most people who relate to this style come from homes where parents just really don't make an emotional connection with their kid, because most likely they never got that and they don't know how. So without realizing it, these parents discourage the expressions of feelings and needs. And like many of these families, I responded, and so do other avoiders, to the anxiety of just not having comfort and nurturing by learning not to want it, learning to take care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So avoiders restrict their feelings and needs, and they become independent. So as adults, when their spouse wants them to connect, they really don't know what they're talking about. And they are good at doing tasks.
Yeah, they produce well.
Trying to show love by doing things around the house or doing projects, but that's as best they can do. They just don't understand emotional connection.
So they're really guarding their heart and probably not even knowing it.
That's exactly right. They don't know it. I didn't know that for 15 years.
Did you know that you had a pool of pain inside
of
you?
Not at all. Not at all. I was so good at getting rid of those feelings that they really existed without my awareness.
Isn't it amazing, and we could just live separated from feelings?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
I did that for m- all my childhood and most the first half of my marriage.
And I didn't realize that I was a pleaser. Pleasers can grow up in angry, critical homes where they're hyper-vigilant and they're always watching, taking the emotional temperatures of their home environment and their mom and dad. And so they walk into adulthood very preoccupied with other people and what's going on and constantly watching and allowing the other person to set their view of themselves as either I'm doing good today because somebody smiled at me or my wife smiled, so I'm okay. So there's this, if you will, a level of codependency in the pleaser who is very focused on others to make themselves feel good.
So my sense of self-worth comes from how you respond to me.
Correct. And so there's always a danger in that because obviously people do not do that well. And you know, a lot of people aren't going to give you a lot of positive reinforcement. Well, that could make me highly anxious.
Wow.
Right, because you're struggling to please and
right.
not knowing what the right thing to do or say would be.
Yeah, it's a stab in the dark. It's a guess. Mm. And what serves us well as a child does not serve us well in marriage. It helped me cope and get through childhood, but it doesn't work well in a marriage.
Mylan,
the same thing I still do.
And as a pleaser, do they come from, and did you come from a home that was an abusive home? Or?
No, just anger, critical.
Okay.
Where you were not quite sure, perhaps. You could also come from a home that where it was overly smothering, where there was an overly engaged parent that wouldn't let you go out very far and created high levels of insecurity in you.
Okay.
Never let you venture out.
Yeah.
Okay, but either way, you lost confidence, the person would lose confidence in themselves and let other people define them.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay,
the,
so we
the
have...
The third love style is the vacillator. And the vacillator has a parent often who connects in a just a sporadic and unpredictable way. Often it's more about the parent's needs than the child's needs. So these kids get enough connection to make them desire more. And as adults, they are on a quest to find the consistent connection they missed as kids.
Oh,
consistent,
so they really,
is the key word there.
Consistent.
So high maintenance then. They really
keep needing. In dating, they idealize because it's, you know, you have a lot of time, a lot of connection, and they think, oh, this is it.
Mm.
And then when real life sets in and they're made to wait for that time and attention, which they feel is under everyone else's control, they become angry.
Oh, my.
And so, like, pleasers don't become angry. They just try harder. Vacillators want that connection, but when they don't get it, they are angry, and they will let you know that they're angry. And so spouses of vacillators often feel like, gosh, I'm walking on eggshells.
Yeah.
It's either really good or it's really bad, because that's the way the vacillator's world is, really good or really bad.
And once again, what determined that in childhood?
Oftentimes it's just a parent who really shows up and is present. Like, this was one of my parents, showed up, was very present, really engaging, and then would just disappear for long periods of time emotionally. They may be in the house, but they were not available. And so I was always waiting and watching to see, like, well, when is that going to happen again? And so that's often the injury under that style of love style.
So, like, there's a lot of intermittent reinforcement that
really
makes a questing for it.
That's right. So they have a longing for connection that's constantly frustrated.
And they want that connection to remain constant.
Yes.
Right.
So they don't handle separation well. If they decide to separate, you know, I'm going to go away for the weekend with the girls, let's say it's a lady who's a vacillator, and she makes a choice to go away, that's fine, but if her husband says, I'm going away with the guys to go fishing, the vacillator is going to feel very hurt. They're going to feel like somebody's pulling away from me, and it'll feel like rejection. Then they get angry. So that's the vacillator. The controller and the victim come from a disorganized, chaotic, Sandy, you asked a moment ago, more abusive home. You ask about abuse and neglect, and certainly you could have alcoholism, you could have drug addictions, you could have all kinds of things going on where there's absolutely a complete disorganization to this thing that God calls bonding and connection that he created. It's all disorganized. And it's chaotic. So people, and it's painful. And so people pop out of that home from their family of origin one of two ways. They either decide, I'm going to be the top dog and I'm not going to let anybody control me because it's painful to be controlled.
Okay.
So I'm going to anxiously control my world and get angry with everybody that moves out of the box. that I want them to be in.
And that really came from a life that was out of control, so they tried to control.
Right.
Impose control on it.
Yeah, it's like Newton's third law. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Okay.
So they move into this. Or they say, well, they don't say this consciously, or they become the victim, which is, this is all I've ever known.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, I feel comfortable with someone who, it is a natural connection for the victim to align with a controller because that's all they've ever known their whole life. And if they're not spunky like the controller, they will just fall into a place where they don't have well-defined senses of self, they don't have well-defined sense of other, and they have a tremendous need to just flow with a system that, you know, basically molds them every day, and they are very much not in charge of their destiny.
So we could see that most of us could resonate with at least one of these categories.
Yes, a little bit.
That's true, and sometimes more than one. In fact, for the chaotic person, many times they say, well, I feel like I'm all of these. And, you know, that would make a lot of sense because sometimes in those really homes that are very abusive, sometimes you're avoiding, sometimes maybe you're trying to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Other times you think, well, maybe connection is possible if I try hard enough. And so, you know, they feel like they relate to more than one style. For me, like I was an avoider in my marriage. I was a pleaser as a pastor's wife. You know, so
okay.
You can be more than one.
Yeah.
We say pick the one that you do most often with your spouse and start there as a growth goal to change that love style towards a more secure connector.
Okay, and in your book you describe well how people can start making changes in as each of these categories evidence themselves.
Yeah, and the first thing we say is you should have a PhD in your spouse's childhood.
Which means?
And the reason is because, you know, the things that bothered me most about Mylan, he was smothering to me as an avoider. He felt like he was always taking my emotional temperature. He was always asking me, well, how are you? And the answer of the avoider is, fine.
Really?
Well, I don't know. You didn't hug me when I came in. No, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those things that irritated me, when I started to hear his childhood memories and I realized in detail some of the things that happened to him and then we explored the feelings around that, my irritation turned to compassion.
Mm. Oh, that's neat.
Because I thought, oh, I understand now why you so anxiously pursue me.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense.
Yeah. So when you're sharing your history, I think there's an interesting thing that though when we share our history with our spouse, we're like sort of protective of our parents. They're our private property in a sense. So only we can share the like negative qualities of them and we don't want anybody else to regard that negatively. So it's a difficult thing as you share the uncomfortable beginnings with your spouse as to how to move it into a forward place that heals.
Well, and we're not trying to bash parents.
Mm-hmm.
What we're trying to do is say, look, you had shaping forces that shaped you.
Good.
And this is how you were imprinted, and we're simply trying to be aware. If I don't know who and what I am, how am I going to grow?
That's right.
You know, so just to even identify with the pleaser. So we create, and you can imagine that I felt around Kay as though, you know, as an avoider, a pleaser trying to please an avoider.
That's,
I mean,
right.
Oh my gosh. You know, she felt so elusive, she felt so unavailable, she felt so hard to grasp. So I was frustrated and it set up this chase scene, kind of like the old Pac-Man game, you know.
Yeah, but you can't get angry, you just get frustrated.
I would just get frustrated.
On the inside.
Okay.
You wouldn't show that to me.
So in the book we describe all these different combinations, what happens when you put these together, and they're mentally predictable, Bill and Sandy. People are, you know, they walk in and within, you know, half hour I usually know what they are and what their combinations are, which means we get to work, you know, relatively quickly. But there's a way to get out of this. God's
okay.
A redemptive God.
Let's go.
Okay, you ready?
Yes, here it is.
It's
yes.
Called the comfort cycle, and it starts with this concept of self-awareness.
Yes, we teach couples, first of all, in the workbook. There's a workbook that goes with this book, and you can work on your own style.
And the workbook
then
is
together,
wonderful.
We work around a circle. It's the same circle a parent goes around with a baby. You know, that there's awareness, there's expression of feelings, and that parent provides relief, and then the baby learns to trust. And it's the same thing with a couple.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, you have to have some awareness, and awareness is the first goal. What do I feel? And that's a starting point for a lot of people.
So I have to put labels on my feelings.
Right. I have to know what's on the inside. If you never had a parent ask, you aren't used to putting words to that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's self-awareness as well as a sharing of that awareness.
Absolutely, and that's the second point, which is engagement.
And engagement means that I'm going to speak the truth. You know, the Bible tells me we are members of one another.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be able to speak the truth to one another in a way that, is constructive.
This is scary. My goodness, we're opening our hearts now.
So scary.
You're right, Sandy.
Some of the most difficult conversations we had were the first honest talks we ever had.
And then we need to decide, I will tell you because God tells me to. I will choose to engage with you. God created community. Even the Trinity never existed. You know, the Father, Son, and the Holy
mm-hmm.
Spirit have always existed in community.
Yes.
And so I'm going to engage, and I'm going to choose to tell people, and I'm going to choose to listen to people. And the third point in this comfort circle is that I'm going to listen, which is to, you know, the Bible says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. So if I'm going to have a receptivity to listening. And then I'm going to ask more questions. I'm going to mirror those questions. I'm going to reflect back. I'm going to ask, you know, are there other times you felt like this? And then I'm going to say, you know, I could see how growing up in that home you could feel that way. And it makes sense that you would be in a place of pain. And I want you to know I care. And when I can turn to a person and do that, then I feel the sense of comfort and relief.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, for me as an avoider, I learned to let Mylan hold me. And I learned to cry in his arms. And while that sounds so simple,
that
was a profound step of growth for me, and it was very uncomfortable at first.
Because it meant you could let down, which, how do you do that?
Yeah, that was letting down some barriers.
Yes.
Well, it took time to get to that point, don't you think, Kay?
Yes, it did. But, we talk about holding in this book, and, you know, learning to hold one another in times where you're distressed and upset so that you're actually recreating that comfort that you never got as a kid. And it's sometimes childhood memories are a safe place to start because it isn't about our current fight.
And we are transcending logical and irrational thought and just experiencing that physical sense of okayness as the
right. Someone has their arms around me and they care.
Yeah.
But as you were saying, Kay, it's touching something much older.
Yes,
in
Sandy,
your history.
You are right. It is actually recreating something, and we were just at a great seminar this weekend. You're actually creating new neural pathways in your brain that maybe never were created. This is what comfort feels like. I can remember I was 31 years old before I ever experienced comfort.
Wow.
And I remember the first time because it was so profound. I have never felt this before.
Well, you know what? I'm hearing the heart of so many of our listeners right now who feel like I've never experienced comfort. Never.
Well, that's true. And if those statistics hold up, which we said at the beginning, that means that 70% of us didn't have that experience. So if we can't give and receive comfort in a marriage, why would we stay married?
But you know what? When you're going, Mylan, when you're going through the comfort circle, the person that is opening is risking so much, but the other person has to be so trustworthy.
Well, they have to be trustworthy, but what is a secondary, very important thing here is, and you guys probably recognize this too, is oftentimes that creates a lot of anxiety in the person who's giving. They don't know what to do with all these emotions. I used to tell Kay, are you done yet? Are you done yet? Are you done feeling, you know? And it took me time to tolerate it. It created anxiety in me. So I have to be trustworthy. We have to trust each other. And it's just one inch at a time. Trust builds.
But it's a process that we learn together.
Yes, we started that at about year 14, year 15 in our marriage. And next month is our 35th anniversary.
Yay.
And it's something we've been working on for 20 years.
And it gets better.
It does get better, doesn't it?
Oh, my gosh, it gets so much better. I mean, there's days where you're making these transitions, and it's so uncomfortable and so anxiety-producing, like you said, Sandy. If you could only know where you were going.
Yeah, really. Yeah, but it's
so worth it.
It is so worth it. So, Mylan, I think we interrupted you. You had talked about the comfort circle, first seeking awareness, then engaging.
Right.
And then exploring.
Exploring, which is to listen and validate the other person. And then when I do that, we always ask a person, well, what do you need from me right now?
Yes.
Maybe, because oftentimes we try to fix the other person's emotions by saying, come on, I'm going to take you out to dinner. Let's go see a movie. Or, you know, let's go do some retail therapy and here's, you know, $100 for a new outfit. And so, you know, we create these things that we don't know what the other person needs. So we ask them, well, what do you need? And they may say, you know, I need to go for a walk on the beach, or I need somebody to hold me, or, you know, I need something that, you know, I don't need anything right now. That conversation really, really helped me. And what, at that point, if the person feels relief, you have created a bonding moment. And in that comfort circle, you create many, many, many bonding moments. And it's like a string of pearl necklaces. Mm. The pearl is a response of an oyster to an irritation.
Mm.
And you take that irritation and you coat it with this comfort. And pretty soon you can be together a beautiful pearl necklace that is simply a grouping of irritations that have been handled well.
Oh, that's a beautiful picture.
And pretty soon a couple looks at each other and they go, wow, you know, we have something beautiful here.
The pearl of great price.
Yeah.
And then resolving.
Yeah, that resolving. Most couples, and I'm sure you can verify this, Bill and Sandy, most couples just get stuck in this with no relief. They never experience any closure on any conversation.
Yes.
Yeah, and they don't really realize what the root of the problem is. These love styles and these injuries of attachment are at the root of many symptoms that are we mess around with at the top, and we don't get to the root. This gets to the root.
So you really begin to bring some closure and some encapsulation.
Some healing.
Some deep healing.
Yeah.
And when that happens, these old attachment styles begin to melt away, and bonding increases, and the bond between my spouse and I will grow to new levels. And so also knowing what my attachment style allows me to do, what Ephesians 4 says, which put off the old man, which is being corrupted. It's not working. And put on the new man. And so this comfort circle is, in fact, all biblically based, which then is to create the new man, which is, isn't this how God is with us?
Oh, yes.
He says, tell me what you feel. Come engage with me in this thing called prayer.
Come unto me.
My scriptures.
Yes.
I will listen to you. Come boldly to the throne room of grace.
Yes.
And find grace and mercy in a time of need.
And I'll never leave you or forsake you.
I won't leave you or forsake you. And I'm going to provide comfort for your soul.
And that's our God. That's our redemptive God.
Yeah.
Mylon, there are people listening now that are strangers to that experience. Could you pray with them and help them to come into a place where they know what it's like to have God on their side?
I would love to, Bill. Lord, I don't know much about this thing called comfort and relief, but through the cross of Christ, you provided a way that I could enter into your presence. And it is a way that says, please come boldly, I love you. Mm. And but yet we're prevented from walking into your arms because of sin.
Yes.
And Father, thank you that the blood of Christ cleanses us.
Yes.
I ask you to redeem me, to save me, to pull me from my sin, and to give me a righteousness that belongs to the person of Christ. And in this new place of knowing you as my Lord and my Savior, the only one who could ever save me from my own sin, you make me righteous before you so that I will stand in your presence, not because of anything I've done, but because of the wonderful work of Christ on the cross. In this new position, the Spirit of God dwells inside of me. My body's now a temple of the Holy Spirit, and you, O Lord, are prepared to create change in my life
as I grow
and learn. I ask you to come into my life, and I ask you to give me the capacity to have newfound awarenesses and choose to follow you as my Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Mylon and Kay Yurkovich, thank you so much for joining us today. Could you tell us how people could get hold of your book if they desired?
Yes, your local Christian bookstore, Amazon, if you want to buy it online, and then we have a website, www.howwelove.com.
Wonderful.
Perfect.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
God bless you guys.
Thank you. Wonderful blessing to the body of Christ.
Thank you, Bill and Sandy.
God bless.
It's a delight.
Bye.
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 You've been listening to The Healing Word. Your hosts, Bill and Sandy Griffin of the Christian Counseling Center in Pickerington, Ohio, letting you know that God loves you so very much. And Bill and Sandy do too. Tune in next time. You've been listening to The Healing Word, an outreach ministry of the Christian Counseling Center in Pickerington, Ohio. We are Bill and Sandy Griffin of the Christian Counseling Center in Pickerington, Ohio.
We've been serving God and the body of Christ for the past 25 years by providing professional counseling to the individual, family, and marriage.
As therapists, our approach is Christ-centered, ministering restoration, hope, and healing.
We're here to help you heal at times when you find yourself hurting and needing acceptance, encouragement, strength, and direction.
The Christian Counseling Center staff is licensed by the state and anointed by God to help you live victoriously. The fees are affordable. The Christian Counseling Center is located on the east side of Columbus in Pickerington. Call 837-1744 for an appointment today. That's 837-1744.